So I started reading this book, and it's called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yes. And I know some of you guys know that book. Some of you guys have seen the movie. And I just started because it's a really, really funny book. This guy is so dry and so out there that I'm just like every paragraph that I read, I chuckle a little bit because he's so funny. Anyway, he talks about this scene with these pan-dimensional beings, and they've been so tired of trying to figure out the meaning of life, the meaning of life and everything. And so they create a computer called Deep Thought. And Deep Thought, they go to Deep Thought and they say, Deep Thought, please give us the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And Deep Thought says, okay, well, I'll have to think about this for a little bit. Come back to me in 7.5 million years, and I'll answer it for you. So they come back in 7.5 million years. And they say, oh, great, Deep Thought! We've waited long for this answer. What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? And Deep Thought says, all right, I have your answer. And says, but you're not going to like it. And they're like, okay, what is it, Deep Thought? What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? And she says, okay, the answer is 42. And you're just like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Hold on to that thought. I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in church. And when I went to Sunday school, when I went to these little kid classes, they'd always ask questions like, who created the world? And the answer would be, oh, come on, be louder than that. Who? The answer is?
God.
Thank you. Who died for your sins?
Jesus.
And these simple Sunday school answers would always come up. And then it'd be like, who loves you more than anything else? And someone would say, God. Or who fed the 5,000? Jesus. And you'd always, the Sunday school answer for any question is Jesus. Now today, we're going to look at a question of what is the meaning of the Bible? Why was the Bible written? Why was the Bible formed? What is the meaning to life and the Bible? And I'm already going to give you the answer. And I already did. Because the answer is the Sunday school answer, and that's Jesus. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. And we're going to see how Jesus says that he is the answer. He is the key. He is what we need to see throughout the whole scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 18. It says this, for this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what the Father sees, what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will even show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So the code that we need to understand here, the key to the Bible, is the fact that Jesus is God. How many of you guys like algebra? Anyone here really like dig algebra? There's some of us who are mathematicians. I'm not one of them, but I did like algebra a little bit. So it's like, this one's really easy, right? If we have this, thank you. X equals 5. That's awesome. That's all I needed. Because once we know X, we can plug it in here and find out and prove that this answer is 9. That 3 times 5 is 15 minus 6 equals 9. Right? I want to put this equation into your mind. And some of you guys who love algebra may just be seeing already what I've created here.
Yeah.
Thank you. But what we're going to see is that Jesus equals God. Now let's look a little bit at what people knew, at what people understood. Okay. What people understood in the scriptures. God. G. The big G. God. You go up, hey, what's up, big G? You know, that kind of thing. Big G. They understood God through people. People worshiped God. People came to know God. God resided among people. People. The M stands for miracles. God performed miracles through the prophets. God performed miracles like through Moses and through all these things that you've seen through the Old Testament. God does miracles. God is known as their Father. God is the Father. God is the Heavenly Father. And finally, B is the Bible, the Scriptures. God ordained the Scriptures. God spoke to Moses and told him what to write. God spoke through the prophets. And all of these were written in the Bible. We're going to stop there. This is what they know. Now, Jesus is comparing himself with God. We're going to do a little squiggly line right here. Looking at verses 21 through 27, I want you guys to tell me, what are some ways that Jesus compares himself with the Father? You'll see this, a lot of this Father-Son relationship in this passage. What are some ways that you can see that Jesus, that the Son is like the Father? Yes?
The Father raises the dead and the Son gives life.
The Father rises the dead and the Son gives life. The Father has life and the Son has life. Father. Father.
Father.
And Son. Okay? They both have life. What else? What else can we see through this passage? Because there's a lot in there. 21 through 27. There's six chapters.
I don't have John.
You don't have John. That's a problem. Here you go. My friend, I have an extra Bible. There you go. Okay. What else? Yes?
Is this stuff that they don't, even if they don't have in common?
Yeah, you can throw it out there.
Okay, the Father judges no one, but entrusts all judgment to the Son.
Okay, judgment. No judgment. Okay, what else? Come on, guys. there anything else in there?
Somebody who does not honor his son does not honor father.
Okay, yeah. They both have honor. I don't know how teachers write like this. Is there anything else? No? Yes?
Whatever the father does, the son also does.
Okay, yeah. Anything else?
In 26, it sort of says the life thing again.
Okay, life. We'll do times two. Anything else that you guys noticed? I bet there's one that you didn't quite catch.
Verse 24.
What does it say?
Someone else has to look it up.
Verse 24.
It says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from life to death.
Okay.
From death to life.
So whoever believes in who?
Whoever hears my word
okay.
believes him who sent me.
So, Christ's word, that's good. God sent. I'm going to throw one out there real quick. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man. And some of you guys may be saying, wait a second. I'm a Son of Man. My mom was a human. Contrary to popular belief, my mom was not an alien. My mom was a human. My dad was a human. I am a Son of Man. How does that make Jesus God? Well, in Daniel chapter 9, I believe it is. Or 7. 9 or 7 is somewhere in there. Jesus, or Daniel talks about the Son of Man coming from heaven and becoming in charge of all the earth. That God put everything underneath the Son of Man. And so in Jesus' time, for Jesus to claim to be the Son of Man, he was saying that he was equal with God. So, Son of Man. Awesome. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's solving this equation already. He says that God, G, equals J. G equals J. He is the Son of Man. He is God. And like I said before, that's the key to understanding everything. Let's move on. We're going to take a look at John again. John chapter 5. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm saying all these things, but I want to back it up a little bit. I want you guys to see how I can say this. I want you guys to understand it. Picking up in verse 31. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. Let's stop there really quickly. We're going to go on. But I want to stop there, because Jesus is saying, you know what? G equals J. I am God. But what I say about myself isn't the whole thing. I mean, I can say that, but you probably won't believe me. Let me give you an example. You know what? I can say that I am Superman. I can say that, right? I can say, hey, look, I got the little curly Q. I'm Superman. But you guys are obviously laughing at me.
No, I believe you.
You believe me?
Yes.
Thanks, man. You guys, so most of you guys, with the exception, are laughing at me, saying, no way. You're not Superman. But what if Rolana came in right now?
Yes.
And said, hey, Superman. And I said, what? Wouldn't that start to trigger it?
No.
And then, like, what if someone else came in the room? Like your mom. And said, hey, Superman. And, like, they were addressing me. And then, like, after that, you read a newspaper article, and it said, Superman saves the day, and you see this beautiful face with the little curly cue, and you're like, wait a second. And then on top of that, I take off my shirt.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Right? I take off the shirt.
You're a girl.
And I fly through the wall, busting out. I mean, wouldn't that change your perspective? I'm not telling you. I can't tell you that. Super secret Superman stuff. Wouldn't that change things a little bit for you? Like, if people addressed me as Superman, if people said, hey, that's Superman. Hey, that's Superman. You read something, and you saw my picture under Superman. And then I did stuff to prove that I was Superman. Wouldn't that change things for you? Thank you, Mark. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. Check this out. Verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. And you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe in the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that your hearts do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God? But do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen up. I have testimony from different people. John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist say? Remember, we studied this a while ago in John chapter 1. I think it was around verse 20. John chapter 1, verse 20. What does it say? If you guys have your Bibles open, you can turn over a couple pages. 1:20, what does it say?
He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. That is John talking.
Yeah, John is not the Christ. But then he pointed to one, and he said, listen, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That's Jesus. John pointed to Jesus. He also said another thing. He said, you know what? It's not just John. On top of that, there's stuff that I've done. Stuff that the Father has sent me to do. What are some of the things that Jesus did in these few five passages that we've talked about? What was the first miracle that we saw? Yes?
Water into wine.
What else? What came next? What about the Samaritan girl? Was there a miracle there? Just the fact that he came into her life and told her everything that she knows. or that everything that she did? What about after that in Cana? Again, the man comes out to him and says, Jesus, my son is sick. And what does he say? Go. Go home, for your son is healed. Guys, what about the stuff that Jesus did? I mean, we know some of the stories. He fed how many people? 5,000 plus. There was another story where he fed 4,000 plus. What did he do with Lazarus? He raised him from the dead. The works that God has told him to do prove that he is God. He says on top of that, God the Father testifies about me. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus came out of the water after baptism, what is something that God said? No one? Yes?
This is my son.
This is my son in whom I am well pleased. God says that about Jesus. God the Father testifies about God. And what about the scriptures? In the Old Testament, this is the Bible that they had. Do you see Jesus? Is the word Jesus ever written down? Well, in Genesis, God tells the snake and Eve that a seed will come from Eve. And he shall crush the snake's head when the snake bites his heel. The seed is planted. The seed is there. That's pointing to Jesus. God tells Abraham that he will have descendants and the Savior will come from his line. God tells Moses that a prophet will come, and Moses tells the people of Israel that a prophet will come, pointing to Jesus. God tells David, hey, there will be someone coming from your line, from your family, whom the throne will never leave. And that points to Jesus. And then you get to the prophets, Isaiah, where it says, but in Bethlehem. And in Isaiah 61, where it talks about the servant who will die on a tree, who will be beaten and struck down. And out of the stump of David will rise the seed. And everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. So you can see here, and I'm going to do it for those of you who can't see the math. But when you have JP, JM, JF, and JB, you can take the J out. P plus M plus F plus B. All these things that Jesus said, they cancel out on both sides. So G equals J. Jesus is God. Are you going to prove my math wrong?
No. Well, not really. No, I was just going to say that the sum of P, M, F, and B can't equal zero.
they don't equal zero.
You don't know that?
Anyway, this isn't math. This is.
It's not math
anymore. It works. We can talk afterwards.
You can add it at the top. Say that like the sum doesn't equal zero, and then you add a second thing. P plus M plus F plus B is not equal.
Okay. I'll do that later. How about that? Okay. Obviously, I'm not as good as math, but I do realize something in algebra.
You are math.
Guys, why is this important?
Math?
not math. Why is this important?
The fact that Jesus equals God. Why is this the key?
Because first of all, the Bible is confusing. The Bible is hard to understand at first. I have a tough time reading the Bible, and I'm pretty sure some of you guys do too. It's boring. There's some stories that you see that you're like, how does this even make sense? But when you understand that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is the key to everything in the Bible,
it begins to come to life.
You begin to see why we need a Savior. You begin to see that the Savior is coming. You begin to see all this, and it all becomes to life.
You see, when Jesus came, the Jews had this mindset of who God was.
This mindset of who the Messiah was. And Jesus didn't fit that mold that they created.
But from the beginning, God was pointing to Jesus. The Bible was pointing to Jesus. The prophets were pointing to Jesus. Everyone was pointing to Jesus.
So Jesus is the key to understanding the Bible. And then secondly,
are you looking in the right place?
What does it mean that J equals G or G equals J? What does that mean in your life? You see,
the Jews were looking to each other to find out about the Savior. The Jews were looking to each other to get praise for themselves.
I mean, if you read what it says in John chapter 5, verse 44.
Actually, starting verse 41. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God?
Are you looking in the right place? Or do you see others that say, you know what? No, Jesus isn't the answer. This is the answer. Popularity, drugs, alcohol, good grades, success. Are those the answer to life, or is it Jesus? If J equals G or G equals J, that should be the center. That should be what you look to. Everything should spring up from God equals Jesus. Everything should come out of that. Because God being Jesus should be the center of your life. God being Jesus should control everything. Jesus being your Savior, the one who died for you, gives you life. And that should be the center. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus says it plainly that God the Father has given him life, and he gives it to whoever he wants, whoever comes to him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, talk to him. Come to him, because he has life and he wants to set you free. He wants to give it to you. So the answer to life in the Bible, and I hope you guys can say it proudly, the Sunday school answer, because the answer is Jesus.
Jesus equals God. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. You plainly put it out there that you are equal with the Father. You say it flat out, God, and you're able to back it up. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that we can come to you because you have life. You have the answers. You have what we need. Don't just let us say this with our lips, but help us to live this out, God. Help us to move forward. Thank you so much, Father, for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen.